Okay, call the meeting of Senate Transportation to order at 1:34 on April 10th, Thursday. And before we start the meeting, I'd like to introduce staff. Dana Owen, committee staff to Senate Transportation, also Secretary Ann Krekelberg, and teleconference operator Claire Gross. And thank you folks for attending. Also with me today, Senator French, Vice Chair, Senator, what's your name? Just joking. Dyson. And Fred, we had a great, it was a great honor to go to your retirement in this room a couple of days ago. It was well received by all of us, and we're going to miss you. Only one bill up for presentation today, House Bill 378, Motor Vehicles Registration Commercial. Shouldn't eat that cookie. Has a further referral to finance. And sponsors Representative Peggy Wilson, Chair of House Transportation, and Amy Erickson, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles, is in the audience to provide public testimony. And also Becky Rooney is here to present the bill. Ms. Rooney, come forward, please. And welcome.
Good afternoon, committee members and Mr. Chair. Thank you for hearing this legislation. I'm Becky Rooney, staff to Representative Peggy Wilson, House District 33. I'm going to briefly introduce HB 378 and then turn it over to Amy Erickson, Director of DMV. This bill was introduced by the Transportation Committee at the request of the Department of Administration. HB 378 brings the Alaska CDL statutes into compliance with federal regulations set in the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Manual. If we are not compliant with the federal regulations, it could result in the federal government decertifying Alaska's CDL program. This would jeopardize Alaska's federal funding, and DOT reports that based on the 2014 allocations, this could mean a loss of up to $34 million in federal dollars. In addition, this would prevent the DMV from issuing, upgrading, or renewing any CDL or CDL permit. The new requirements raise the CDL age for instructional permits from 17 to 18, and the permit will be valid for 180 days. And with an option that it can be renewed for an additional 180 days. It was previously valid for 2 years, but non-renewable. HB 378 will allow the DMV to refuse or revoke a registration for a motor carrier or a commercial vehicle that does not meet federal safety standards. Additionally, a CDL permit will be disqualified in the same manner as a CDL. That is for a driver or a vehicle operating while non-compliant with the same safety regulations or out of service, or if that person is convicted of manslaughter, negligent homicide while driving a motor vehicle. Texting while driving will also be made a serious CDL violation. Additionally, language was changed to clarify that registration fees charged for vehicles over 10,000 pounds are charged as at the commercial rates. The current fee schedules are not being changed, just clarified. The DMV has coordinated all these changes with the Alaska Truckers Association so that we feel that it'll keep the Alaska truckers on the road where they belong. So with that, I'd like to turn it over to the DMV Director, Amy Erickson, and she'll go through the sectional and answer your questions.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Rooney. Ms. Erickson, welcome. And your name and affiliation for the record, please.
Amy Erickson, Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. I'm glad to go through the sectional, or we could. You did a very good job of really summarizing the bill. I can go through the sectional or be available for questions.
What are the wishes of the body? Senator French.
Just the only, it was an excellent overview, and the only part of the bill that didn't jump out at me is, or at least the part I haven't found yet, is the one that addresses texting while commercial vehicle driving.
That's in, through the chair, Senator French, that's in section 12 of the bill.
Ah, okay. It's the statutory reference. It's 2835-161. It's texting while driving.
That's correct.
Got it. Thanks so much. That was my question.
Senator Dyson.
Sorry. I had a couple of questions on the text. Is this the appropriate time?
Cool.
I read through this.
And by the way, just, I'm sorry, Senator, but Tiffany Thomas and Joanne Olson from DMV are also online for questions, and Daniel Smith, DOT, and Amy Goldsmith, the Department of Law, are also available for questions.
Sure, my question is a little bit pedantic. Page 2, line 19, says the applicant is a commercial motor carrier prohibited from operating. Does this mean the applicant is not an individual?
Not an individual.
Page 2, line 19.
Right. Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I'm not exactly understanding the question. It applies to the carrier, but...
carrier is a company?
The carrier is a company. That's
okay,
true.
Okay, that explains it. All right. Mark these one.
Can I just ask a question on that point while we're there?
Sure.
Thanks.
Sure.
Maybe just give us an example of where that would apply. It's someone who's been the federal government's issued a stop order or a decertification order or something along those lines.
Through the chair, Senator French, commercial motor vehicle enforcement is online, and that might be better answered by them.
Sure, if that's okay, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dyson, Senator French. Yeah, who is online from DMV that would be available to answer that question, or DOT, or Department of Law?
For the record, Dan Smith with Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. Through the chair, Senator French, there are four general instances in which the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration will order a motor carrier to cease interstate operations. When they have an unsatisfactory safety rating from the FMCSA, or when after exhausting all due process options, the motor carrier fails to pay federal fines levied from the FMCSA, or when the motor carrier is determined to be an imminent hazard. And then the fourth case, after failing a new entrant audit.
Thorough answer. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Smith. For the question, Senator Dyson.
Yeah. I'm sure this is all fine, and you don't have to. I'll vote for this thing anyways. But page 7, line 23, I reread this paragraph a couple times. So it's a 14-year-old getting a what we used to call a learner. It's an instruction permit, non-commercial, and he can drive. He's got 21, somebody 21 and over who's got the license for the class of vehicle and grab the steering wheel. But down about it says instruction permit be renewed for one time. It's line 21. Once a license is issued to drive a specific type of vehicle, a driver is not eligible to obtain an instructional permit for that class of vehicle unless 5 years has passed. So this is not like we used to think of learner permits for kids learning to drive a car, right?
Right.
Okay, so this is for anybody that's getting a learner permit to drive a commercial vehicle?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, in this case, it's a non-commercial permit, and the reason for this waiting period of 5 years is that's the term of a license, So statute doesn't allow DMV to issue you a license, a permit for a license you've already held. So the example, the reason this is in the bill is because DMV had encountered a woman, for example, who had a CDL. She then had a brain injury and was out of practice, hadn't driven in many, many years. But the statute didn't allow us to issue her a permit because she'd already held that class of license. So this way, when 5 years has passed, her next term of her license.
I got it. Okay. I got it. I think I had one more. Yeah, this, maybe if I understood the context here. So top of page 9, this is you can get disqualified for all these things. Line 1, page 9, driving after having been placed out of service. And then it says line 2, operating a commercial vehicle has been. So how does a person get placed out of service? Line 1, page 9.
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, could I ask DOT to answer that question?
Sure.
Mr. Smith, are you still online?
Yes, I am. Dan Smith with Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. Through the chair, a driver could be placed out of service under many different circumstances. We follow the Commercial Vehicle Safety Alliance out of service criteria. A driver simply stopping at an open way station and saying, I'm ill, I'm unable to safely operate this vehicle, which we have had happen, the inspector or enforcement officer will place that driver out of service until a time when he is safe to operate. That's an example of the driver being placed out of service because of a medical fitness issue. Okay. Now, when we start looking at a commercial vehicle placed out of service, that is one that is the imminent hazard. Yeah. You may be, the operator may be carrying an unsecured load and then come into the same open way station and
I got it.
Get to inspect, and at that time it deemed that the load securement procedure had not been followed, and they may need two more binders on the load, and until they can safely secure the load, they would not be able to operate past their point that they were sitting at.
Got there. Got it. Been there, done that. There's some of my colleagues that would like to get you to place me on the list of out of service. I think that probably is not allowed in the law, but thank you. That's all the questions.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Smith. Further questions from the committee?
Ready for a motion?
It's our intention to pass the bill out today, Vice Chair Dyson.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we pass House Bill 37, committee substitute for House Bill 378, Transportation. I believe that's the backslash P version, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal notes.
Objection. We'll take a brief at ease. Reconvene. Is there anything else to come before the committee?
Negative.
Seeing none. Transportation Committee for April 10th is adjourned, and thank you everyone for attending. Once more, thank you, Ann, thank you, Dana, and thank you, Ms. Gross. And meeting is adjourned.